versus the comptroller Glenn Hager. If you guys want to once again make announcements since we're going on our oral record.
Your Honor, Kevin Oldham for Silicon Labs.
Mr. Oldham.
Jack Holmgarten for the State Officials.
Whenever you're ready, Mr. Oldham. Can you remind me, I understand we have a novel time splitting arrangement, how we're reserving time?
Well, Your Honor, I think the parties agreed and sent a letter to the court saying that we do 15 minutes for appellants and then 20 minutes and then five, the standard, even though we have issues of cross appeal.
I saw that letter and thought we had something out of the ordinary.
Okay. So,
all right.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Kevin Oldham. Again, I'm here to represent Silicon Labs. And today we're here to talk about the manufacturing exemption and how it applies to electronic design automation software, which is used in the semiconductor industry to build chips that are sold. But I think under the broader context, it's important to understand that the manufacturing exemption, as it's written for semiconductor companies, signals the industry that Texas wants semiconductor companies to come into Texas, right, to diversify the economy. And I think that it's important to understand and realize that back in the 90s, when the legislature was dealing with the manufacturing exemption, they were broadening the exemption for semiconductor companies while restricting the exemption for other types of industries. And we'll talk about these cases and where everything fits.
Does that incentive get influenced at all by the fact that the actual manufacturing or clean room is happening in Taiwan as opposed to here? Was that ever an aspect?
Well, I think, you know, where a clean room is, I think may or may not be important to a particular company. But I think the incentive, if you have, like Silicon Labs is here, and they have hundreds of engineers that are working on these chips here in Austin, even though the fab is overseas. So I think the incentive is still met when you have a company that sets up headquarters in Austin, Texas, where you have Samsung and, you know, Freescale and all these companies here. Some of that fab is done here, some of it's done other places. When we get into the nitty-gritty of this, though, Silicon Labs has provided the court with a three-page exhibit that kind of lays out structurally how the manufacturing exemption applies to EDA software. So the primary argument from Silicon Labs is that subsection B2 of the manufacturing exemption very clearly and plainly says that the exemption includes semiconductor fabrication and cleanroom equipment. Exemption includes means exemption includes. It's very straightforward, very plain. So really, the ultimate decision is, what does the term semiconductor fabrication and cleanroom equipment mean? Well, it's helpful that in subsection Q of the statute, it defines that term. And the statute says that all tangible personal property, EDA qualifies as tangible personal property, that is used in connection with manufacturing of a semiconductor chip, meets the definition of semiconductor fabrication equipment in this referenced in B2. So the standard there is the phrase in connection with. And what does in connection with mean? Well, this court, nor any other court, has defined the term in connection with in the context of sales tax, but this court has twice defined that term in the context of franchise tax, and these are recent cases. The first one was in Titan, right? And in Titan, this court said that in connection with just means some kind of reasonable relationship, something more than incidental or tangential. And then later, in the Gulf Copper case, the court said that drilling rigs that are repaired by a third party on Texas soil, that activity was in connection with the improvement of real property out in the Gulf of Mexico somewhere where they're drilling the rig. So in connection with is a low standard. If you think about it this way as a hurdle, in connection with is something that I can probably step over. Necessary, essential, maybe something around my waist, and directly used in or during, you know, may be a little bit higher threshold. So those are the context. So for manufacturing exemption, as it applies to the semiconductor industry, the threshold and the bar is very low, something more than incidental. So is EDA software more than incidental? And the testimony at trial was overwhelming that EDA software was necessary and essential to make the semiconductor chips the Silicon Labs sold. In fact, the testimony was, you cannot make these chips without using EDA software. So
does the fact that the Taiwanese company has to use EDA software as well and then kind of look at it and go, oh, this may or may not work with what we have here, so either you go back and try again, or we'll try from here, and you're on your own if it doesn't work? Does that make a difference?
No, that's a great question. So the EDA tools that the Taiwanese company is using are what are called back-end tools. So they're really focused on very small aspects of the overall design of the chip. So the EDA tools, the majority of the EDA tools that Silicon Labs are using are building the brains of the chip, the functionality. So everything that it does is being built in a virtual environment where they test it and simulate it. They basically build the whole chip virtually. And so what the and where the Taiwanese
and
company...
And because you said design, can I ask another one
sure.
in here? Is the fact that this is put on taxes and research and design, is that a red herring or is there something, some weight that we should be giving to that?
Well, I think, you know, the reason the statute is so open for semiconductor companies is because the statute is trying to, the statute understands and the legislature understands that the manufacturing process for semiconductor companies is unique, right? So I'm not just drawing a semiconductor chip on a napkin and hand it to the Taiwanese company and saying, hey, go build this for me, right? I mean, what we're using EDA software for is to build that functionality and the functional tolerances of the chip. And everything that we do creates that functionality and then tells them, you must build it this way for us. And what the Taiwanese company is saying is, okay, we can build the functionality that you want, but these are the limitations on our machines that talk about the physical parameters, right? So you have the functional parameters and you have the physical parameters, but both of them are absolutely necessary. You can't have one without the other. The Taiwanese company cannot build a chip on their own. They cannot build a chip without what Silicon Labs does, and that was the testimony.
Was that R&D, or is that somehow different than R&D?
Great. So what is R&D, right? And so the court and courts have never said what research and development is in the context of the manufacturing exemption, but what I would propose to this court is that something is not research and development if you sell it. I mean, research and development is some guy in a lab coat saying, I wonder if we can make this, or is there even a market for this? But everything, the testimony was at trial that everything that Silicon Labs builds, creates, the functional logic, all the function that they create here in Austin ends up being sold in some form or fashion on one of their chips. And so they're not, what we'd say is it's not R&D if you sell it. There was a district court case, I know it has no precedent here, where they did look at R&D, and the judge did say, if you're selling it, it's not R&D. So that's where I'm not just pulling that out. That's where I get that from. But that's a great question. So with respect to the primary argument, our position is that B2 says the exemption includes, Q says it meets the definition if it's in connection with, and with the help of Titan and Gulf Copper, EDA qualifies as in connection with, and that's the end of the analysis. Now, the state has said, no, that's no good. We're going to ignore all that, and you still have to meet the elemental requirements for the exemption under subsection A, so that there's no exemption outside of A. And so on the second page of the oral argument that we provided, I've kind of given a walkthrough of how EDA qualifies for the exemption, even under the state's characterization of the manufacturing exemption and the structure of it. So there's three basic elements under A. One, A2A, and we're talking about A2A versus A2B a little bit later, and that's where the trial court kind of got mixed up, and we can talk about that. But under A2A, there's three elements. If the EDA software is used in actual manufacturing, it's necessary and essential, and whether it directly changes the chip, right? So the first one is actual manufacturing. I know a lot of the briefing talked about this, what is actual manufacturing? But going back to the Tyler Pipe case, the court said that if something is indispensable to the manufacturing process, then it's used in actual manufacturing. Now, the Corpus Christi Court of Appeals later said that Tyler Pipe was no longer good law, but we would propose that Tyler Pipe is still good law for semiconductor companies because the direct change requirement that happened in 1997 does not apply to the semiconductor industry. Subsection S1 specifically excludes semiconductor companies from the direct change requirement.
In 2A2, the word directly really wasn't focused on a whole lot either. Directly used and then actual manufacturing. Is there some relation between those words that they have specific meaning?
That's a great question. So directly used in actual manufacturing modifies actual manufacturing. I think it goes back to what is actual manufacturing. If the court finds that, yeah, Tyler Pipe's still good law, indispensable, yes, if it's indispensable to the manufacturing process, it's used in actual manufacturing, then all you're looking for is whether it was EDA used directly in that activity. And EDA was certainly directly used in that activity of making the semiconductor chip in a virtual environment, and that activity was indispensable to the production of the chips. Now, but the second category down below where it talks about directly makes a physical or chemical change, that's a separate and distinct element that the court has to look at, and whether or not that is a requirement under S1. So S1, you know, says that that the direct change requirement that was added in 1997 doesn't apply to semiconductor companies.
Is there a situation where something could be necessary and essential to manufacturing, but yet not directly or actually used?
Yes, absolutely. So papers and pens, I think there's things that are even mentioned in that 1996 letter ruling that the controller issued. Yes, you can. There's ladders. There's all kinds of stuff that could be necessary, you know, to create the final chip. Like, you can't have it without, but it's not directly used in those activities. It's peripheral or tangential, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of in correlation with the incidental versus necessary and essential. Okay, so getting back to the state's construction of the manufacturing exemption. There's three. First is actual manufacturing, and we believe that Tyler Pipe is still good, that Sabine Mining and Southwest Royalties don't change that for semiconductor companies. The second one is necessary and essential. All three witnesses agreed that EDA software is absolutely necessary. Even the state's own expert witness agreed with us that EDA is necessary to build semiconductor chips. And then we get back to the direct change requirement. And our position is that S1 specifically excludes semiconductor companies from the requirement of direct changes. Now, the trial court made a distinction and said that S1 applies to A2A, but not A2B, when you're talking about components or preliminary products. But our position all along has been that we qualify under A2A because EDA is necessary to make the chip itself, not just a component part of the chip. Now, in our alternative argument, we do talk about the components that are built into the chip and necessary. And so on the third page of the oral argument exhibit, we have kind of the structure of the alternative argument. And so there's a couple of added things in this structure, and I don't have a lot of time yet left, but I'll try and get through as quickly as possible. But under section A2B in the manufacturing statute, there's the exemption talks about if you're building a component or an ingredient of a product that you're ultimately going to sell, then the manufacturing exemption can still qualify. So alternatively, a subset of the EDA tools that are issued deal with digital, are called digital tools. And what they're doing is they're building functional logic. And this is like, you know, just general Boolean logic. A plus B equals C. A or B equals D. And this functional logic is sequenced together and stringed together to create an outcome. So there's an input, A, that gets an output, C. And
can I ask where in the record, or where is the best evidence on this very question?
Sure.
Of where the digital EDA tools are different from the big picture. I know that you know the primary argument is the whole ball of wax.
Yes, ma'am.
But then there's that secondary argument. And was there evidence before the trial court in this trial on those secondary digital EDA tools? Because I know that they're not all, there's the analog and the this and the that's, and where's the evidence on that?
Absolutely. So the exhibits that were presented at the trial court were admitted without objection for both sides. And in those exhibits, and I don't have the exact exhibit in front of me, but I can look it up, but there was a listing of all the tools that were used by EDA during this time period, 03 to 06, and those were labeled which ones were digital and which ones were analog. Now, the state took the position that there may be overlap. Some of those tools may have been used for both digital and analog, but the description that was given by Silicon Labs, there was no controverted evidence that description was wrong, and it was admitted into the record.
So, because I know that in the relief that y'all saw, you know, first reverse and render, but as an alternative, you wanted a remand for what? I mean, another trial?
No, Your Honor. If it was if we remanded on the alternative argument, then we would have to work or present evidence as to what was the amount at issue regarding the digital versus the analog. And we would have to work with the state to figure out what that amount was.
Okay. Because of stipulations and all that, they just say the one big amount.
Right. We stipulated that was the amount at issue, but there was no mathematical breakdown between There's no mathematical breakdown based on amounts in the record. You're correct.
Before the trial court.
Before the trial court.
Okay.
The individual, I mean, we could get there. You could do the math because in the record it shows you which ones were digital and which ones were analog.
Okay.
So the main issue with respect to the alternative argument was whether or not the functional logic that's created by Silicon Labs using EDA software meets the definition of software. And we took the position that it met the statutory definition, and their expert agreed with us. Their position was that it doesn't meet the regulatory definition. So I'm out of time. Thank you.
But on that same point, though, isn't there something in the case law that requires that the actual software be sold, packaged and sold at the end, and how does it fit into that?
Well, the Verizon case talks about it has to be sold and completed from the seller's perspective, and the testimony was that it was complete it from the seller's perspective, and all the testimony from the state side was that it wasn't complete from the buyer's perspective.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Hungard.
Good morning. May it please the court. Silicon Labs' argument breaks down at several points. First and foremost, Silicon Labs' position hinges on its ability to evade the direct causal and chemical physical change requirement in A2. If that requirement applies here, Silicon Labs loses, as the trial judge recognized. A2 very clearly says that an additional requirement, in addition to being necessary or indispensable, or however Silicon Labs wants to argue it, is that the property for which the exemption is claimed makes or causes directly a chemical or physical change to the product that's being either manufactured for ultimate sale or a preliminary product or intermediate product that's going to become a component or ingredient in the product for ultimate sale. Now, if the court simply juxtaposes S1, and of course I'm referring to the manufacturing exemption, if the court looks at S1 and compares it to A2, it is very clear that S1 only carves out the causal, chemical, and physical requirement for property being manufactured for ultimate sale. That is, the carve-out only pertains to the clean room equipment that is at the foundry in Taiwan that is actually manufacturing the semiconductor chip. Whatever Silicon Labs is doing, it is certainly doing it in the preliminary or intermediate process of developing this chip. And therefore, S1 actually makes clear that all of A does apply except for that one carve-out that S1 specifically references. To get to a win for Silicon Labs, this court would actually have to add language to S1. It would have to add the language going to preliminary and intermediate products, and that is directly contrary to the rule of construction that applies for exemptions. As this court knows, in fairness to other taxpayers, this court is not supposed to infer an exemption, or to put it conversely, an exemption cannot be implied. But that is exactly what Silicon Labs is asking this court to do. It's asking this court to actually diverge from the plain language of S1 by adding additional language that goes to the preliminary or intermediate stage, or by striking the language that very clearly limits S1 to the product being manufactured for ultimate sale. And that's not what's going on here in Austin, Texas, when they're designing the chip. Of course, we contend that a product does not even arise from that process because the software, the EDA software, is pure design software. And that is the most important point for this court to focus on, because the manufacturing exemption means manufacturing. And if that isn't entirely clear by A, D emphasizes, subparagraph D says, manufacturing commences at the first stage of production. So we're talking about actual manufacturing, and we're talking about actual production. And what Silicon Labs is trying to argue is that this in connection with phrase in Q is so broad that it actually extends the exemption to design software, even though the statute as a whole takes great pains to say, with one narrow exception, design is not manufacturing. That's made even clearer by subparagraph P, which sets out one exception for design, so that the manufacturing exemption does reach design for one industry, and that's the software industry.
Is there any dispute that the EDA software is necessary and essential to the manufacturing?
There is no dispute, Judge, but that's not the statutory test. That is a partial statement of what the statute requires.
Correct. What language are you claiming they would need to add or delete from S1 to reach the conclusion that they're asking us to reach? I'm not understanding your argument.
Sure. It is that second subpart. If the court looks at A2 and the requirement for a direct chemical or physical change, that requirement goes to both products being manufactured for ultimate sale, and the other part is the preliminary or intermediate product. S1 only refers to the product being manufactured for ultimate sale. And this is exactly what the trial court said.
Where's that second part you're talking about?
The second part, you mean regarding preliminary and intermediate products?
Yes.
That's in A2. A2, A and B.
Is the ultimate sale, is that the software provision, or that's a more general use?
No, the ultimate sale is the semiconductor chip. That's the product that's being manufactured for ultimate sale. The EDA software doesn't create anything that is actually manufactured for ultimate sale. The EDA software creates a design that is electronically transmitted to the foundry. And, Judge, to answer your question directly, the court's findings and conclusions addressed exactly that question. And the court's findings and conclusions said A certainly does apply to clean room equipment, because it wouldn't be necessary to have this small and distinct carve out in S1 if the remainder of A2 did not apply to clean room equipment. Now,
it's just interesting, is the A2, before you ever get to A and B, the subset, the same language is also included in 2 about the ultimate sale. So there is a way you can read the statute to say that S basically takes A2 out of play for clean room.
We disagree, Judge. We think the plain language shows that a portion of A2 is not taken out of play, and that is the plain language of the statute. This court would have to read that additional language and decide that the product being manufactured for ultimate sale, which is the semiconductor chip, would also refer to some other intermediate or preliminary step.
Then why doesn't S1 actually say A2A rather than just saying A2?
Because it used the language that is in A2A.
And also in A2.
So it's our position that it couldn't be plainer, but I think it's even clearer that to take in connection with in Q and say that that picks up design work that is done with this software and therefore takes and extends the manufacturing exemption to design work is a tough row for Silicon Labs to hoe, because they're suggesting that even though manufacturing in the manufacturing exemption takes great pains to say we are limiting this to actual manufacturing, that in connection with language can actually backdoor in design work. But design is only falling within the exemption if it is a design of software. And as we have shown, and as the court, the trial court found, the software design exception, if you will, to the exemption does not apply here because this functional logic is not software. It does not meet the definition for software under the rule that was in effect at the time.
But does it under the statute?
Well, there is no definition of software in the statutes. That's why...
Computer program.
Well, that's exactly why they're different. Computer program is not software. Software is a subspecies of computer program. That is why the comptroller had a rule which was not challenged in this case and has never been found to be invalid that defines software as a set of instructions that is sold as a completed program. These logic gates that are in the silicon chip are not a set of instructions that are sold as a completed software program that is intended to be coded for acceptance by a computer to do whatever the software is intended to do. In fact, finding 13 makes crystal clear that these logic gates can't do anything without the other components of the microchip.
So are you saying that hardware can never have software as a component or integral part integrated as part of the manufacturing process, or you're saying it doesn't matter?
We're saying both. We're saying it's not software, and therefore they can't use this narrow design exception to slide under the manufacturing exemption. It's not software as that term is very clearly defined by the comptroller's rule.
So
even if it were software, I'm sorry, Judge, you had a question.
Well, no, go ahead and finish your answer. I'll make sure you answer your question.
The other point that was made in the Laredo bottling company is that Silicon Labs is clearly not a manufacturer. You have to be a manufacturer to avail yourself of the manufacturing exemption. And even if software is at issue here, they are clearly not manufacturing that software. So even if it were software, they would not prevail, but it's very clear from the court's findings and from the comptroller's definition that those functional logic gates are not software. They're simply a series of logical operations that can't do anything unless they're integrated with the core processor, with the clocks, the oscillators, both external and internal, the analog to digital converters. You need all those components of the chip to be working together in order for the chip to do what it was designed to do. The functional logic is just one attribute among many in the semiconductor chip.
The EDA software, my understanding was that it's actually supposed to virtually design such that it takes into account the actual clean rooms, weight tolerances, things of that nature when creating ultimately the wafer. Am I understanding that correct?
I think that's a fair statement, Judge, that it sets out the design specifications such that all of the aspects of the actual manufacture at the Taiwan foundry will be taken into account, including manufacturing tolerances and including clean room conditions.
Isn't that sort of design, I mean, we seem like we're speaking broadly of design, but isn't that design specific to making sure the manufacturing process is successful versus we're now designing a product in the abstract that we'll then have to modify down the road to get it manufactured? Isn't there a difference?
Judge, that's absolutely wrong with all due respect because it once again attempts to drop out the requirement that there be a direct physical and causal relationship. And the fact that this design, just as an architect's design plans would take into account any number of things that have to be done and are necessary in order to build the building, does not have a direct physical and causal relationship to the actual construction project. These Design tools do not have a direct chemical or physical causal relationship to the manufacturing process at the Taiwan foundry.
Are they in connection with it?
I would say absolutely not, because if you read Q, Q, which defines semiconductor clean room equipment, and of course this EDA software is not clean room equipment, the clean room equipment that is specifically identified is integral systems, fixtures, piping that control airflow or reduce contaminants or control the temperature, humidity, and environment where the chip is actually manufactured.
Is the EDA software semiconductor equipment for the Taiwanese company? Just so that I can visualize it.
No, I don't think so. Again, the fact that the Taiwanese, it just shows another break in this process so that Silicon Labs can't make the connection. The EDA software that the foundry uses is also not manufacturing equipment. One place where it could be is if, for example, the software was controlling, that is directly controlling or programming, the clean room equipment. Then you would probably have an instance where the software comes in. But my point here is that the court needs to step back and consider for a minute the specifics in Q, which describe what kind of equipment. Although it's a non-exclusive list, it gives examples. And EDA software that's used in Austin, Texas, is not remotely similar to the kind of equipment that is described in Q.
But even in Q, it says that the equipment doesn't have to be in the room itself. It can be the water cooling stuff that's located outside of the room. I mean, it can be all
yes.
sorts of things. It doesn't have to be inside the room physically.
That's exactly right, Judge. It doesn't have to be inside the room physically. It can be outside the room. But it does have to be of the type of equipment that is identified in Q. And this EDA equipment, or excuse me, this EDA software is not remotely similar to the types of equipment that are actually described in Q. And of course, while it can be outside the room, Silicon Labs is asking this court to actually jump continents and go from Taiwan to its design facilities here in Austin, Texas, where it designs the chip in a virtual environment.
Is there a difference between manufacturing and fabricating?
No.
I don't mean lying.
I think they're synonymous and intended to be, that fabrication means manufacturing and vice versa.
Would it matter if Silicon Labs was using a clean room in Texas?
If Silicon Labs was using a clean room in Texas, then Silicon Labs would be manufacturing the chip, and Silicon Labs would be entitled to a manufacturing exemption for the property that falls within the exemption.
Would
you
that
see, that's the key.
EDA?
Excuse me, Judge.
Would that include the EDA software?
No, it wouldn't. It would include the clean room equipment. But it would not include the software, because EDA software is design work, and design does not mean manufacturing unless you are designing software. And these logic gates are not software under any reasonable definition of what software is. Software is something you sell to a company or a person, they load it onto their computer, and they do something with it. These functional logic gates are meaningless, worthless, they don't do anything, as the trial court found, unless they are completely integrated with the other components of the chip, and unless they, that is the logic gates, interface with external software or software that's actually loaded onto the chip's core memory processor. So functional logic is nothing without actual software, and it's certainly is not software. But the important point for this court is that that narrow design exception shows that the manufacturing exemption did not intend to extend, or the legislature did not intend that the manufacturing exemption extend to any industry other than the software industry. And if the legislature had intended that this design exception extend to the semiconductor chip industry, it certainly knew how to say so. So in sum, the problem is for Silicon Labs, necessary and indispensable only states part of the test. They have repeated that argument continually, but it does not state the statutory test set out in the manufacturing exemption. This court, or excuse me, this case can seem difficult because of some of the technological esoterica, but it really is a simple case because the legislature has told us that manufacturing means manufacturing, and manufacturing means actual manufacturing, and manufacturing does not mean design of the product. I see I'm almost out of time. Unless the court has any additional questions, I respectfully return the remainder of my time to the court.
Thank you, Mr. Hoengarten. Rebuttal, Mr. Oldham.
Thank you, Your Honor. Couple of things. Mr. Hoengarten said that EDA software is not included in the list of described items in subsection Q. That's not true. EDA software is used with the PDK that the foundry has to construe the manufacturing tolerances of the chip, and that was in the record. That was testimony is uncontroverted. That with respect to the functionality of the chip, EDA describes the tolerances. With respect to the physical metal and where the silicon goes, that's what the manufacturer describes. So it does fit within those that laundry list in Q under controlling manufacturing tolerances. The construction of subsection S1 that the state has and is asking you to adopt doesn't make any sense. I mean, A2, it specifically says that the limitations in A2 do not apply to semiconductor companies. That includes A2A and A2B, but that's not even determinative because we're asking for the exemption under A2A. And he talks about design and design and design, and what the state is trying to get you to, agree to is that the design process, the use of EDA software to build a chip in a virtual environment is just like every other manufacturer. But that's why the statute is specifically written different for semiconductor industry, because it takes into consideration the fact that you have to go through this process of building the chip in a virtual environment and testing it, testing each functional, testing, making sure it's the timing is right, making sure the function is right, making sure the speed is right, all before you send it out to put silicon and metal on the wafer. Also, it's helpful in the understanding the background legislatively. So in 1995 is when the semiconductor company was specifically identified in B2. And the controller had asked the legislature to do that to understand its existing policy with respect to semiconductor companies. In 1996, the company sent a letter to the controller saying, what does this all mean? And this 1996 letter, which is referenced on your oral exhibit, is that if you meet the requirements of B2 and Q, you're deemed to meet the requirements of A. So there's no additional test under A. And then in 1997, after Tyler Pipe and Chevron, when the direct change was enacted in 97, they also, in that same bill, provided S1 and said all these constrictions, all these tightening that we're doing in the manufacturing exemption to everyone else, it does not apply to the semiconductor industry. S1 specifically says it doesn't. Under Rule 3.308, the state argues that, with respect to our alternative argument, that the functional logic that's created using EDA software doesn't meet the regulatory definition because it's not sold as a completed program. It's interesting that the controller's rule that they're relying on doesn't construe the manufacturing exemption or the word software as used in the manufacturing exemption. It's completely unrelated. But notwithstanding that, the controller has since changed that rule, and now they have adopted the exact same wording that's in the statute. And again, the controller's own expert at trial agreed that the functional logic created by EDA software met the statutory definition of computer program. And the words computer program, historically, for the controller, that word is used synonymous with software. They're not two different words. They mean the same thing. And the word computer program, not software, is used in the definition of the new controller rule. Talking about actual manufacturing and Tyler Pipe, Tyler Pop talked about actual manufacturing. The mold-making equipment that was the issue was indispensable and necessary to make the mold, which then was necessary to make the pipe. And the court talked about cameras. If I buy a camera and go to Africa and take a picture and then bring that back and, you know, take the digital image, edit or whatever, and then sell it to someone, I'm a manufacturer. Even though I take that camera overseas and use it and bring it back, that means I'm still a manufacturer if I'm selling that ultimate picture. Here, what Silicon Labs is doing is they're using EDA software to build a chip, and they have to do it in a virtual environment first before they can do it in a physical environment. And so because of that, it's used in actual manufacturing. The fab is not the only manufacturer. They're a sub-manufacturer, and even the controller's own rule, 3.300, I believe it's A15, talks about the use of a sub-manufacturer to do part of the manufacturing process. I think I'm out of time, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oldham. Thank you, Mr. Hohengarten. Interesting case. The case will be submitted, and the court's standing in recess. We'll have about a 10-minute recess if the students want to stretch their legs, and then we'll come back out and visit with you all in the courtroom after.